This audio presentation is a teaching of Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled, Attitude of My Heart, Pastor Scott speaks about guarding our hearts and how we can have a pure heart. This message was recorded on Sunday, January 17th, 2016. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Good morning, New Hope! Oh, it's so nice to be able to sing and worship the Lord. Like Jaywin said, we went go holo the other day, and I was standing like I usually do, the non-swimmer, standing at the edge of the cliff. And I was singing. I was like just watching the sun go down, and I was just enjoying singing praises to God because nobody else could hear my voice. So it was just nice to be out before, be out in nature, because before days we would just go holo holo and just ruin everything by getting drunk, and now we go holo holo sober, enjoy and take in God's beauty, and it's just like so more fulfilling and rewarding to be able to do things like that with a clear mind, man. And then you're not gonna fall off the cliff because you're drunk, but. It's so, you know, we have a really wonderful men's group here. We like to go holo holo. And if you guys like hang out with us, we'd love to hang out with you. Like Jaywin said, we do start early on Saturday, but we finish at 7. So we send you home. So by the time your family getting up, you come in home and you all filled, you all joyful, you happy, you ready to go. So I encourage you guys, to your men, to come join us this Saturday. We're going to be talking about the heart. This morning, and the thing is, I'm not no doctor, but why do you think people die? Is it because of cancer? Is it because of an accident? Is it because maybe they get shot or something? But the last time I checked, people die because their heart stops. Whatever may cause it to stop, but they die because the heart stops beating, and you know, so there's no blood circulating, and then you die. You know, they say that the heart weighs like 7 and 15 ounces. You guys probably 15 because you guys get all big hearts, really big. And they say it's about maybe the size of your fist, a little bit bigger. So maybe you can see my heart, maybe big. I hope it's bigger than that. Huh? But you know, and they say that. Man, the average heart beats 100,000 times a day and pumping. Can you imagine about 2,000 gallons of blood? Okay, if you live on catchment, you know, you get one catchment, maybe 7,000 gallons, maybe 10,000 gallons. Okay, so you can picture 2,000 gallons. Well, that's quite a bit, yeah? And then I guess if you're bigger, your heart pumps more. And so your heart is your circulatory system that makes up your cardiovascular system. Your heart pumps the blood to your organs, your tissues, and your body. That way you get life. And I cannot see how anybody can live without a beating heart. Maybe if you get hooked up to a machine, I don't know because I've never been hooked up to one. But, you know, I'm not a doctor, and I don't know how anyone could live without a beating heart. Some of you may have big hearts. I heard people like, wow, that guy get one big heart, yeah. Oh, that guy get one cold heart, yeah. You ever heard, like, who? Brother, your heart is so hard, like rock. I may not have a hard heart, but I have one hard head. Yeah, you ever get, when I was a little kid, I went surfing. I fell off the surfboard. The skeg hit me in the head, and the skeg went broke off the board. Oh, I think right then my parents would shake their head. Oh, this boy going to be hard head. Yeah, and so some people, they have hard hearts, cold hearts, hard, and some people, you see generous hearts, big hearts. Regardless of what people say about your heart, I know for a fact that you have a heart, and it's beating because you're here and you're alive. This is what the Bible says about the human heart. In Jeremiah 17, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Kind of depressing, yeah? Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the result of his deeds. Okay, so we read that and we think like, wow, what's going on? But I think for us to kind of have a better understanding, we need to go back a little bit. And if you have your Bibles, you can open it up to Jeremiah 17. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the beginning of the major prophets. But Isaiah 17, 5, and I'm going to read from this Bible, and please forgive me. Like everybody else, when they get old, they put on their glasses to read. I got to take mine off because I can only, now everybody's blurry, but this is so clearly focused. In Jeremiah 17, 5, it says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord." You think, man, when I was growing up, I used to always and only trust in man because I never knew God. So I guess I was cursed. "For he will be like a brush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant." Okay, now this is the good part, verse 7. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord." And I think like, wow, think about it. When you came to trust in the Lord, how much more your life was blessed. And now I see things, you know, even though if I cannot see now, but I see things in a whole different way. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green. And it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease to yield its fruit." And then comes this scripture that talks about our heart. Okay? So God tells us the way of blessings and the way of cursings in these verses. And I think about it. Why would anyone choose any other way to live? That's why when you come here to fellowship, I try very hard to point you to Jesus and not say, "Hey, look at me." Don't look at me, because if you follow me, sooner or later, you're going to go tumbling and falling, because I am not perfect. And I want you to follow Christ. Because when you follow Christ, man, that's the way to go. Amen? So God, Jeremiah was writing this, and God was saying that, you know, Jeremiah was saying the heart is so deceitful. And Jeremiah was wondering, man, who can understand it? So God was telling him that God can search the heart. He can examine our mind. God knows our innermost thoughts and motives. Even if we can hide it from others. See, Jeremiah's solution to this problem of our heart, the problem of sin, he was trying to get us to focus on God, the majesty of God. Just like now, when we go down to the ocean and we just see the scenery and we look like, wow. We was driving down and I was looking to Jay and I said, like, man, I am so happy that God called me to live here in Hawaii. I cannot imagine if I was someplace like North Dakota or South Dakota or Nebraska and no more an ocean, and I don't know what I would do. I enjoy just being out there, and I see things so much different because God put a different perspective in my heart. You know, God makes it clear that we sin because it's a matter of the heart. Our heart is inclined towards sin from the time that we were born. And sometimes for us, it's easy to fall into the routine of forgetting or maybe even forsaking God. But the thing is, we, you and I, can choose whether or not to continue to live in sin or not to live in sin. We have a choice to yield to temptation, or we can ask God to help us resist it when it comes. Amen? So what the physical heart is to the body, the spiritual heart is like is to our soul. See? And we all have that heart that pumps our blood, that keeps us going. And you notice in life, we gain stuff. We have cars, we have houses, and we try to protect it. And that is not wrong, because God has blessed us, so we try to steward our things well. And back in the day, we used to go holo-holo, throw the fishing poles in the back of the truck, and by the time we get to the ocean, the ice chest smashed our fishing poles. Man, imagine driving all that way, getting to the ocean, find out the cooler won't slide because the roads we go on are bad, and when smash all your ice, and you know can't go fishing. Kind of bummer, yeah? And that used to happen. So now we get this big piece of pipe, and we stick our fishing poles. We protect our fishing poles, because, man, if you can drive 3 hours and you know can fish, you'd be pretty bummed out. So, you know, we protect our fishing poles. We tent our house. How many of you had to tent your house because the termites would eat your house? Right? And that's what they do. And I get so mad because, you know, you save, you pay your mortgage, and these little bitty insects come and just destroy it. And I was mad one day because I found termites in my house, and I said, Pastor Dennis Hall, why? Why did, you know, God allow these termites to live? And, you know, his answer, so we know that everything here is temporary. Oh, put me in my place. Seriously, right? But we protect our fishing poles. We protect our tools. We protect our houses. You know, we do maintenance on our car as to protect it from breaking. But the thing is, you know, we do all this. But this is it. Number one, guard your heart. How much effort do we put into protecting or guarding our heart? Proverbs 4:23. If you have your bulletins, read this with me. Ready? Go. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. So it says, watch over with all diligence, you know, with persistence, hard work, effort. You know, as much as you get your property and you put one fence around your house with some Rottweilers in there and hook up some electricity to your fence, so when you come over, you see the guy stuck. You see? No mess with my stuff because I'm protecting it. But what about our heart? How do you protect your heart? Watch over your heart. It should be guarded. For out of our heart comes our actions. Here the word heart means more than just, more than a mental or emotional capacity, but it encompasses our values. Be careful of what you allow into your heart. Ephesians 6:14. Talks about having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate, what does that do? You ever seen that police movies where wear the vest and they get shot and they fall down and you think they're dead? Then later on they rip off this vest. It's like, yeah, they got protected. You know, Ephesians 6 tells us to put on the armor of God, and part of that is the breastplate. It protects our heart. The thing is, here it is. Why do I need to guard my heart? What's up? Because the devil is after your heart. We're learning about that on Wednesday night. We've been talking about our opponent. And then we had this paper, it says, the names of the opponent. And I hope for the sake of those of you Wednesday night, you're going to put your spouse on number one. Okay? Because that's not the opponent. Okay? We actually, Wednesday night, leave here with one more tool in our belt to be equipped to do every good work. Yeah, and the devil, he really is. He's after your heart. He seduced Adam and Eve, and the result was the fall of mankind in Genesis 3, 1 to 6. He seduced King David, and the result was the death of his son and the division of his kingdom. He seduced Judas Iscariot, and the result was the betrayal of Jesus Christ. And then he committed suicide. He seduced Ananias and Sapphira, and that they lied about money, that they sold their house, they sold this property, and the money was theirs to give or to keep, and they gave, but they kept some for themselves. They didn't have to lie about it, but he seduced them to lie about it. And the moment they lied about it, boom, they dropped dead. Oh, that would have scared me. You ever seen Scared Straight? Yeah. People were frightened. See, the enemy, the opponent, the devil, is after your heart. And Proverbs 4:23 in the New Living Translation says this: guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Think about it. Think about if you ever went down the wrong road in life. Why was that? Because the enemy had your heart, and you went that way. You know, just as there are many diseases and disorders that can affect the heart, there are many ailments of the spiritual heart that can hinder growth and development as we grow together. There's this word, and I might butcher it, but it's called atherosclerosis. It's the hardening of the arteries due to accumulated cholesterol. You know that fat on the corner of the prime rib, the ones that's so delicious? Yeah, the chicken skin that is so, you know, the thing is, if God never like us eat chicken skin, why don't he make skinless chicken? Right? But, and just like fatless cow, but those things, the cholesterol, the plaque that blocks our arteries, you know, those things you maybe can enjoy when you're young, but now that I'm, you know, I cut that piece away, and I show my wife. I look, honey, I'm not eating this. I give it to the dog. The dog have a heart attack, that's the dog's problem. But the hardening of the heart occurs. Okay, this is how our heart gets hard. This is what we got to protect against. Our heart gets hard when we hear the truth of God, but we don't listen. And then a little piece gets harder. Then we hear another truth, and we don't listen. And we hear another truth, and we don't listen. And next thing you know, our heart is getting hard. Look at Egypt. They were stricken with one calamity after another. Man, I would have been done with the first one after the flies or the gnats or the frogs. I would have been done enough. Let them go. I cannot take this anymore. Imagine if it was a plague of cockroaches. You know, we go fishing sometimes. Forget, you know. Plague of, I mean, every inch in the ground. Cockroaches. And it's like, no, you guys don't like go camping with us. Huh? This past trip was just wasps flying all over around. But if you don't bother them, they don't bother you. But, you know, Pharaoh knew that he needed to release these people. But one after another, he just didn't listen. His heart got harder and harder and harder until what happened? His son died. Then he's like, oh, shoot. But I need to let these people go. So when we hear the truth of God and we stop listening, man, the heart can come really hard. In Psalms, King David pleaded with his people not to harden their hearts in rebellion against God as they did in the wilderness. Psalms 95, 7 and 8. For he is our God, and we are of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the days of Massah in the wilderness. You know, there are many things that can harden our heart and lead us to deny God. I mean, just like, how many of you got to take cholesterol medicine? The rest of you, I give you thumbs up. You must be taking good care of yourself, or you shame, raise your hand. You don't need to be shamed because Doc not here today. Okay. But just as cholesterol blocks the flow of blood, I always thought that high blood pressure meant you had a good, strong heart. That's not the case. It means your artery is getting clogged. But, you know, cholesterol blocks the heart blocks the flow of blood. And spiritually, when we harden our hearts, it keeps us from having that free flow of God's peace and blessings from obedience. You know, guarding our heart means guarding it against rebellion, cultivating a spirit of obedience to God's word, being submissive to God's word. And that's one of the ways that we can guard our hearts. We hear God, we obey God. We hear God, we submit to God. We are instructed many times in the Word of God to avoid grumbling, murmuring, complaining, engaging in these activities. And when we focus on these things, it takes our focus off the plans and purposes of God. It takes our focuses off the past blessings that we have. You know, guarding against complaining or spirit of complaining and cultivating a spirit of gratitude and trust is a way to guard and to protect our hearts. You know, congestive heart failure is an inability of the heart to successfully pump blood through the body due to weakness within its walls. Congestive heart failure can result from high blood pressure, heart attacks, and abnormal enlargement of the heart. The spiritual equivalent is like anger, temptation, pride. Anger acts like a poison on the body, both physically and spiritually, and it makes us more vulnerable to temptation, to hurt others with our actions and our words. Unforgiveness is another one that poisons us. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. You know, each one of us, we are in a battle, a constant and a war with our opponent. And sometimes we get so intent on fighting those external spiritual wars that we forget much the battle comes from within our own mind and our thoughts. You know, don't be deceived. Sin begins in the mind. And first, we must remember that it starts here And then it comes out in our actions. So we got to stop it when it comes in. You know, avoid being anger and prideful and, you know, all these things. Philippians 4:8, Paul puts it best. He says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence in any of anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The thing is here, there is no heart so immersed in sin that God cannot reconcile. He cannot resolve it. There is no heart so diseased in sin that God cannot heal it. There is no heart so hardened by sin that God cannot repair it. A couple of weeks ago, one of my friends called me from Oahu. And he said, oh, man, I'm fighting with my wife. And I told him, okay, well, this is the thing. When she comes at you, I said, a gentle answer turns away wrath. You know, the proverb, it's really true. And he said, no, but it's not that. I'm the one getting mad. Like, okay, well, you know, sometimes you automatically think that's the wife, but it wasn't. It was him. Forgive me, wives. I'm the one that always, I snap at her. So I told him, you know, and I have those issues. When I got to deal with, you ever heard of those, that term sandpaper people? They're really rough. Yeah, and you be around them. Oh, it's hard to be around them because they rub you. And if you ever want to sand yourself with rough sandpaper, it hurts. But, you know, I realize sandpaper people, they smoothen you out. They make you nice. But if you ever had to be around rough people that really, really hard to get along with, and I had my share, I always do this, and this is what I told my friend, to check out Psalms 51:10, and I said, this is what I do. And I text him that, but I never hear from him for a couple of days. I was like, oh, no, I hope he not get mad. Because it's not an easy thing for me, for us to do. Psalms 51:10, David sinned with Bathsheba. He got caught, Nathan confronted him, and then he realized that he made a big, big mistake. So Psalms 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. And I think, like, when I have issues, and believe me, I don't remember that whole scripture, but when I have issues, this is what I do. I call God, you gotta change my heart. Please change my heart. I don't like having this attitude towards another person, because God tells us we gotta love others like how he loves us. So I said, I pray that God, change my heart. Change my heart. You know, like song, change my heart, oh God. Change my heart. And I sincerely do that. And the bitterness, the anger, it just like washes it away. And it's like, wow, God, thank you. Because sometimes, oh, the first thing you're like, man, God, you better change the attitude because it stinks. How many of you like to pray that when you're mad at somebody? You better change them. Change them. They're rotten. They're dirty. Change them, Lord. They don't know how to drive. Yeah? Oh, Lord, change my heart. Lighten my foot off the gas, maybe. Change me. And that's not an easy prayer to pray. Maybe that's why my friend took like 3-4 days to text me back. But David, you know, he confessed, he petitioned God, you know, forgive me. Give me renewal. Give me, change my heart. As a correction for his sinful nature, David asked God for inward renewal of his heart, his attitude, preservation in service, restoration of joy, He was aware that he had become indifferent in his attitude, so he needed an inner renovation. He was aware that Saul got removed from the kingship because of his sin. So David asked God not to take away his spirit and depose him. And he was sincere, and God kept him there. God changed his heart. You know, and if you need an attitude adjustment of your heart, Psalm 51:10, pray that prayer. I dare you, if you have issues with people, I dare you to pray that prayer and watch what God does. Sometimes I like to look at these verses as what's in my heart. And sometimes, man, when I look at these verses and I hear what comes out of my mouth, it's like, oh, I got a lot of work, man. God got to put in overtime on me. Luke 6:45, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. That's nice. I love to hear that. But then you continue, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Oh, yeah? You ever bringing up that fish up the cliff and halfway down the thing fall off? Oh, what comes out of your mouth? Oh, you know what's in your heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. At least I got to fight the fish. Not all the time. Oh, you... beep, right? And, you know, Jesus reminds us that our speech and actions reveal our true underlying belief, our attitudes and motives. You know, you can try make good impressions, but, you know, if your heart is not that way, it's not going to last. Matthew 15:18-19. But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. Pastor Alex told me, when you get squeezed, bro, that's what can come out of you. If what's inside of you, oh, and I hope it's good. And those defile a man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and slanders. See, so you can see what comes out of our heart. It comes out of our heart because that's what's in our heart. So if we guard our heart as much as we guard our car, you know, my car got painted now, and you see how far away I park. I'm getting some exercise, man, now. Because I'm guarding the car, because Jaylen wouldn't work hard. He wouldn't paint them. Now, it's not like my white truck. It's dirty. It's dirty. Too bad. Now I got to wash them. But I protect it. I guard it. And if I took that much diligence to protect my heart, wow, I wouldn't have any bad stuff, Opala, going into my heart. We got to work hard, you know, to protect our heart. It's not an easy thing, because sometimes you turn on the TV, and sometimes sometimes action movies, to express themselves thoroughly, they swear. And as soon as they swear, my wife's antennas go up. What you watching? I got to change the channel. I'm watching ESPN. The guy went fumble. I don't think so. No, change that channel. It's like, because we keep watching. It's exciting when all the blood and guts is flying. People's heads getting shot off their arm. And then you're like, wow. And then they're swearing. And those things get put into your heart. Next thing you know, you start swearing. And it's like, wow. So when I watch one of those shows, it's like, bro, that's not guarding my heart. That's like, bro, come on in. So I'm flipping through the channels, and I look, Exorcist, no, not that. I watch, like, all that kind of, like, those demonic movies, no more. I watch those things in my house. Like, because before, you know, you'd like watch spooky movies because your wife come closer to you, right? She's scared. Oh, honey, I'm so scared. You're like, yeah, more you leave them on. But that's not guarding your heart. I like letting the enemy come in. Matthew 12:34, Jesus says, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. You know, our mouth, you know, what you say really gives you away. You know, you can act all nice in church, and afterwards out there, what you say, how you speak. And I can tell you, I'm guilty. If you ever was a passenger in my car, everywhere I go, somebody is 10 miles an hour below the speed limit. They're always driving in front of me. So when you see one line of cars, I'm always a second one. And I hope that's not you in front of me. I remember your license plate, so I know. And if I know that's you in front of me, I back off. Yeah, and I get mad because my wife knows. She's like, honey, God is just testing you. Like, oh, okay. You know, if you desire for God to work in your heart this morning, I ask that you would ask God, give him permission. Give him permission to change your heart, to work on the attitude, so that when you're driving behind me and I'm going slow, you have patience. Right? That when I'm coming out of the rubbish dump, you would stop and say, go ahead. Not because you know who it is, because your heart is right. When you see somebody who is in need of help, your heart is right. When you have somebody complaining, a family member, that your heart is right. How you speak to one another, your heart is right. For out of the overflow of the heart comes out of the mouth. And I hang around you guys. And when your phone rings, I know when it's your wife. Guys, oh, hello. Oh, she, what you like? Right, guys, that's guilty, man. It's like not, but if it's me calling you, oh, hi, Pastor, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine, everything good. But when your wife calls, oh, hi, what you like? Not now. Oh, I'm busy. But when we talk to each other, the overflow of our heart, we gotta, you know, be gentle, be nice. You know, think of what Jesus would say. You know, especially in this day and age, there's so much going on. And for us to go through life with a hardened heart or stuff like that, it's like, man, you would be miserable. So I ask that you would allow God to be a part, to help. Let him mold your heart. Let him soften your heart. And above all else, guard your heart. Guard what you watch, what you put in, where you go on your computer. Guard it. Because the devil, he is out there. He is real, and he is after your heart. And if you study him, you know what he's about, you can see what his next move is, and you'll be able to guard your heart. Amen? You can put away your notes. I want to ask the worship team to come up. If you need to let Jesus into your heart, because he cannot work on your heart unless he's part of your life. Amen? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I would ask that you would pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? God bless you over there. Anybody else? God bless you back there. Anybody else? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands, and I pray that you would begin to do that work from the inside out, work on their hearts. And Lord, for the rest of us, if we would be so bold to say, Lord, change my heart. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever new. Work in me. Give me a brand new heart. Fill me with your spirit. If that would be you, we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people would say, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Jeroma of New Hope Christian Fellowship East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street, Kau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.